I was lost in sin, I had no peace within, to save my weary soul I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different,
yes it's
oh so different now.
It's different
yes,
now,
it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since He saved my soul.
It's different
yes,
now,
it's different
since
now.
By His blood I'm
by
whole.
His blood I'm whole.
Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different,
yes it's
oh so different now.
Since fetters held me fast, the die was almost cast. My proud and haughty spirit would not bow. But just one glimpse of Him, it broke the power of sin. Now it's different,
yes it's
oh so different now.
It's different
yes,
now,
it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since He saved my soul.
It's different now,
yes, it's different
since
now.
By His blood I'm
by
whole.
His blood I'm whole.
Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different,
yes it's
oh so different now. And now my hopes are bright, I praise Him day and night. How He could change me so I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done, the victory now is won. Now it's different,
yes it's
oh so different now.
It's different now,
yes, it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since He saved my soul.
It's different now,
yes, it's different
since
now.
By His blood I'm
by
whole.
His blood I'm whole.
Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different,
yes it's
oh so different now.
It's different now,
yes, it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since He saved my soul.
It's different now,
yes, it's different
since
now.
By His blood I'm
by
whole.
His blood I'm whole.
Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different,
yes it's
oh so different now.
Walk over closer. On yet? Yes. Yeah, we got in there. All right. Thank you, quartet. I get to pull rank on James, and I get to sing bass. He gets to pull rank on me and choir. I have to sing tenor. I enjoy singing, though. Praise the Lord for it. Know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, things should be different now.
Amen.
Not just that you're on the way to heaven, there ought to be a change in your life taking place. Old things ought to be passing away. Behold, all things are to be coming new. God's doing that process there in our lives. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. A little five-year-old was watching his older brother get disciplined by his father. After a thorough lecture, the dad reminded his elder son that he would now have to live with the consequences of his actions. A few minutes later, little Larry spoke with his dad and made a special request. "Dad, if David has to go live with the consequences, can I have his room?" Now, life is full of challenges. Those challenges bring about choices, and those choices have consequences. And many of the decisions that we make, we may look at and say, you know, there's really no big decision here. There's no real bad consequence or good consequence of it. And that's true in a lot of things. I mean, what socks you put on this morning really has not much consequence to me. Even if you did like one pastor did this past week, and I met with him on Tuesday, and as we were about to leave, he looked down and said, "You know, I got dressed in the dark, and I've got on one blue sock and one black sock." That's no consequence, no big deal. But there are many decisions that we make in our lives on a regular basis that do have consequences that are much bigger. And things, certainly, as you look at college, young people, we've got some young people that are making decisions about college, about the field of study that they'll be going into, job futures that you may choose, a path of going down. Those things certainly have consequences to them. The future spouse that God would have for you. Children, not just whether to have them, how many to have, but how are you going to raise them? How are you going to train them? How are you going to prepare them to be able to raise their children properly as well? You know, there's more to learning in life than just learning how to grow up and find a job. Okay? They are temporary things that we often focus on. But there are things that we need to be training our young people that will last for eternity as it impacts their life to impact their children's lives as God gives them. The church you attend certainly is important and has consequences on your life and what goes on in your ministry. And certainly we could look at your choice of discipleship. As I said just a moment ago, following the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to make some changes in your life, those things are very important, not to mention salvation. And may I say, if you're here today and you're not certain of your salvation, and what I mean by that is, if you were to die tonight, that you would have confidence to know that I would be in God's presence. And the reason that you have that confidence is based on what God promises in His Word, that you have done what He says. There's too many people that I've met to say they believe in God and they believe in Jesus Christ and they know He died on the cross and they've trusted Him as Savior and they're trying to do the best that they can and they've been baptized and they were good up until that point where they said they started doing the best they could, trying to do all of that. It's not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and anything else. And when we begin to confuse that, it brings suspect upon their true, genuine salvation, whether that they're depending on the Lord Jesus Christ or they're depending on the Lord Jesus Christ and themselves in some way. And that's not salvation. And so it's important to make sure you know where you stand and that your answer is, "I know that I have been saved, and I am on my way to heaven. If I were to die tonight, I'd be absent from this body, and I'd be present with the Lord because I have placed my trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that's the only thing that I depend on to make me worthy of His heaven."
And that is the promise that he gives, that those that do that, he will give unto them eternal life with him in heaven. Based on God's promise of what I've done that he said, I know that I can have that confidence. And if you don't have that confidence today, we'd love to talk to you about it before you leave today so that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. But while there are many choices out there that we're faced with, these choices have consequences, many of them very important ones, that we'll have to live with. God's desire is seen in Deuteronomy 32:29, where he says this. He says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." And that is, their consequences, the outcome of the choices that they make. So God's desire for us today is that we would be wise people to think about, beyond this action, there is a future to that path. And my choices that I make are going to determine what path I am on. And so it's important to look beyond that. We know that and can see that in many different areas. I remember with teaching our boys how to shoot a gun. I'm glad I did. They're police officers. They need to know that. Matter of fact, Robert's now one of the instructors there at the academy with firearms. And so with that, one of the things that we had to teach, or I had to teach them, is when you aim a gun, whether you're hunting or whatever, or targeting, etc., you've got to be thinking what's beyond on the other side of my target. Because that bullet is going to go either through, or if I miss, etc., where is that going to go? And the same thing is true in many areas of our life, that we have got to look beyond what we see here in a short distance and think, if I make this choice, where is that going beyond there, you see? And that is the wisdom that God would have us to have. And so God gave us good examples of men who chose wisely. And one in particular is found right here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. It is Moses there. He looked ahead where each lifestyle led, and he made a wise choice. In verse 24, it would be good if I got over there. Verse 24 here of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God," all right, that was one choice, that was one path to take, "or to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Why did he make that choice? Here's the answer. Esteeming, that is, he made a judgment, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. In other words, this path with God's people will lead up to be a better end than this path with all of the riches, with all of the power, with all the respect, etc., of Egypt and all of its pleasure, where that will end up. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He looked ahead at where it would go, the reward. And he said, "I would rather suffer now with the people of God than to live all of the pleasures that could be offered unto me now. Because when I look at where they end up, this one ends in hell. This one ends in paradise." And he chose there wisely. The title of the message today is the three C's of life. They are challenges, choices, and consequences. Father, I pray that as we look into this simple message, that you would help us to understand some very basic yet everyday needs and truths that we need. And I pray that you would help us to not just understand the truth, but, Lord, that we would begin to implement it in our lives to make sure that we are looking and evaluating and making the right choices in our life that will have the consequences that we would so desire for the future. Help us, Lord, from the very youngest that is here to the oldest of us, that we would all evaluate our lives and based on what we see here today, and Lord, that we would see whether or not we have been making those choices wisely, and if not, Lord, that we would begin to adjust those decisions to be in line with the wisdom of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Looking here first at challenges there, we all face challenges every day. There are different kinds of challenges, of course. Some of them will come as opportunities, some as trials, some as temptations. And all three of those we'll look at here together briefly. As opportunities there, Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says that we should exhort one another daily while it is called today. The word exhort simply means to encourage one another. I think that some people struggle in this area. They may have a heart desire really to encourage people, but as I've said before, it's so much more fun to talk about them. It's called gossip. And some people really struggle with the sin of gossip. Now, I've told you before that not all of us as believers struggle with the same temptations. There are some people that may struggle with gossip. There's other people that struggle with lust. There's some people that struggle with covetousness. There's other people that struggle with pride. There's other people that struggle with all kinds of different things in different ways. And so you've got to understand and be able to recognize what is the weakness that you have to guard against that. That's a total different message there. But please understand that. But we are to exhort, that is to encourage one another daily while it is called today, while you have the opportunity. And that's what we're talking about here. Some of the challenges we face are opportunities that we have to do good, and we should not neglect that. We should, according to Proverbs 22:9, it says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor." Some of the opportunities that we have may be to help someone that is in need. You know that there are people around us in this world that have need. There may be some people right here in our church family that have needs. And we need to be looking around and evaluating for is how can I be an encouragement to them? And sometimes it may be through a monetary way that you can do that. And so it's important for us to recognize how the opportunities may come our way and how that we can be used of God. Another opportunity, as I've mentioned here recently, is in 1 Peter 3:15. We're to sanctify the Lord God with our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asketh a reason of the hope that is within us. Excuse me, and we're to do it with meekness and fear. We ought to not neglect the opportunities to open our mouth and to speak to people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I went to that soul-winning seminar yesterday, and I am so sorry for you that missed that. I know some of you had mentioned you wanted to come, and schedule-wise you couldn't, but it was good, and one of the first things that he mentioned there within the Great Commission, that we would call it, in Matthew 28, it says, Mark 16, it says there to go. But the word means there, as you are going, we're to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us are going. You're going to work. You're going to the grocery store. You're going to soccer practice. You're going to music. You're going to cheerleading. You're going to all of these different things. And as you're going, be a witness of Jesus Christ. And I thought that is so good because that's where we are. And that's what we need to be reminded of constantly. It's an opportunity that we come across. But we've got to have our eyes open looking for it. And then we've got to take the opportunity, make the choice to do it. So here we have opportunities that are challenges that are before us. We're to take advantage of the opportunities. Secondly, there's trials that come as challenges in our life there. Trials of testing of our faith. And over a couple of pages there to James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that is the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. And that word patient, both times in there, is talking about to endure under patiently, to wait in endurance. Wait there patiently. Establish your heart. The word establish means to strengthen or to set yourself firm to the end. Patiently wait with firm expectations and holding under. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Look at verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction. That is trouble or trials that we're talking about here. And of what? Patience. And behold, we count them happy which endure, or blessed which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job, that is the endurance of Job, what he went through there and still followed the Lord. And you've seen the end thereof, at the end of the book of Job, how God blessed him in his end more than he had at the beginning. And you see that the Lord is very pitiful there, or full of compassion and tender mercies. What are we learning here in our trials that God says that we're to do? And the trials that come, the circumstances of trials, God wants us, as it tests our faith, to bear under them with enduring patience, waiting for the end there, for the light at the end of the tunnel to come closer and closer, and reminding us that the coming of the Lord is soon. Don't give up. Just bear under and continue. Don't get discouraged. So in challenges of trials there, we're to patiently endure them. And then some of the challenges that come are actually temptations. They are designed to defeat us. They're not designed by God. We're told there in James chapter 1, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The drawing away of our own lust is the part that we have a flesh that, as I said a while ago, is susceptible to certain temptations even more so than others. And so that's our weakness. And then on top of that, there's a great fisherman out here called the devil that knows how to bait the hook to get our flesh to bite. And so that's the enticement. And the devil is then planning and developing that temptation to such a degree that he wants us to give in to it. For he knows there, when lust hath conceived, verse 15 of James 1, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, judgment. And that's what he wants for you. He doesn't want the best for you. He wants to deceive you into falling for the enticement, and then to get yourself caught in the judgment. He wants to devour us, to destroy us there. So these are designed to defeat us. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer. And the word means to permit. He will not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so with the temptation, there comes a choice. Are we going to give in to the temptation, or are we going to do the way of escape that God has given us? But the choice is ours, and whatever choice we make, then comes the consequences of that choice, as we'll see that developed here in a moment. So with these challenges that they come, there are opportunities that we're to take advantage of. There are trials in which we are to endure under, and there are temptations in which we are to stand and resist against. Then there comes the choices, as I mentioned. Ken Collier, as I've told you many times, made this statement, just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. That's really where it comes down to. Are we going to do what God says, or are we going to do what we want? And that's where a lot of the decisions lie here that are major decisions when we evaluate them. The challenges that we face, whether they're opportunities, trials, or temptations, They all have choices that come along with them that must be made. The question is, are we going to make the wise choice or are we going to make the foolish choice? There are some examples in Scripture of both. Moses is one here in Hebrews 11, of course, that made the wise choice. He made a choice to help his fellow Hebrews there, to stand with the children of God, to choose that over the riches and the power of Egypt, that what it had to offer. And what was the outcome of that? What was the consequence of that? Well, one easy thing is, it saved a nation. Saved a nation. It was a big consequence that was there. Daniel, in Daniel 1:8, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine in which he drank. He made a decision in advance that he would not compromise himself there in that stand. He also, in chapter 6 and verse 10, made a choice there that he would maintain his faith and his faithfulness to the Lord as there was a plot made and a decree given that you're not to ask any request of any person other than the king. And yet Daniel, even after knowing that, went into his chamber there and prayed with the window open there 3 times a day as he had done previously. He remained faithful unto the Lord. He did not compromise himself. And he became an encouragement to others. And from there, it ended up that God brought them out of the land of captivity through those years there. And we see how that God used these and the choices they've made to be a great encouragement to others. But then there's examples of foolish choices. You remember Adam?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Adam made his choice. It affected him. The consequence, he got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, out of paradise. But it affected every one of us because all mankind was thrown into sin. Esau made a choice that cost him his birthright. You remember how that the birthright there of the firstborn son was a special blessing. It was a double portion, really, of the inheritance. But it was a blessing from the father that would go with his line there. That was highly coveted after as children would have seen it. And it would have been a great heritage to have had in his family. But he came back hungry after hunting and so forth. And he traded his birthright as the firstborn for a meal. He traded the permanent for the temporary. That's foolish. We should never sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporary. We should look ahead at the decisions that we make. Because there are many things in this world, and not all of them are bad in themselves. But when we make those decisions that lead to temporary things, and folks, I think I've got rid of most of all of them now, I had an attic full of trophies from sports and different things that I'd gone through. Even some of them were in the youth group and things that I'd gotten trophies with. What is a trophy? A dust collector. And after too long, it becomes an attic room taking up a space that never gets looked at. How long was that choice good for? I look back at a decision I made, and unfortunately my parents let me make that decision. It's hard to believe that the Wiles Christian Camp was actually operating when I was a teenager. But they had just started. I think the first time I went was in the 8th grade. I just moved to Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and they were going to summer camp. They had gone the previous year when it opened. This was the 2nd year it had opened, and I went with them. I went every year from then through after I graduated there. After you graduate high school, 12th grade, you can still go that summer afterwards. And I went every year except for one. Do you know what I did the one time? I made a decision to stay home and take driver's ed. Now, it was going to be offered again in the summer there, but I wanted my driver's license ASAP.
I've been driving the rest of my life, but I couldn't go back to camp and experience that as a teenager again. And so I traded something that could have had an impact in my life of that year for all eternity so I could get a learner's permit a couple of weeks or so early. That was stupid. Yet, we are faced with so many decisions that are round about us. And it may be sports. It may be other hobbies. It may be all kinds of different things that can be going. These are temporary things. And when we trade them for the eternal, what are we going to have in reaping the consequences? We need to be careful to understand, like Esau, never choose to sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporary. Last Sunday I told you about King Saul's choice not to listen and obey the word of the Lord, and it cost him his kingdom. Judas Iscariot, he chose to betray Jesus, and it cost him his apostleship and even his life. Pilate, Agrippa, and many others chose wrong concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're still in hell today, waiting the great white throne judgment to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity future. They made the wrong choice, and there are consequences to those choices. There are many choices around us. We need to choose wisely. Now, with the consequences, in the movie The Gladiator, General Maximus Decimus Meridius, I think that's the way you pronounce his name, made a very true statement. What we do in life echoes in eternity. Consequences. What we do in life echoes in eternity. The choices of life are binding in eternity. It's been said that you make your decisions, and then your decisions make you. You make your decisions, but then your decisions make you. I hope that you understand that choices have consequences. Some of them are bad, some of them are good. The year was 1890. And in a small town in North Dakota, a baby girl was born. She was the youngest in a family of seven children, and her family had a rich spiritual heritage. At the age of seven, she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Circumstances in her life changed such that in 1926, and if you do your math, she's age 36 now. In 1926, she met the pastor of a church in Hollywood, California. The pastor indicated that the church was in need of someone to head up the Sunday school program. For 35 years, she served in the church. That's to age 71. From 36 to 71, she worked leading with a Sunday school and teaching a class with children in Sunday school. There were ups and downs in her role, as there always are. Some days were easier than others, and she would faithfully teach the children entrusted to her care week after week. She herself was not a gifted evangelist or overseas missionary. The Lord had not gifted her to be a public speaker in front of thousands of people, but what God had called her to do was teach Sunday school, something that she was very good at. She loved children, and she loved teaching them the truths of God's Word. Sitting in her class week after week were two boys for 36 years. No. Sitting in her class each week were two boys, eager to learn. They would open their Bibles and attentively listen to their teacher. Her name, one that pretty much nobody will recognize, is Henrietta Mears. But the two names that you will recognize are two young boys who were in her Sunday school class there in California. Their names, Bill Bright and Billy Graham. As the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright has mobilized thousands of missionaries to be sent around the world
Billy Graham, the gifted evangelist, preached the gospel in hundreds of countries around the world to massive numbers. Those two men, through them, millions have been impacted. Henrietta Mears was a steadfast and faithful woman. She knew what God had called her to do. She knew God had gifted her to be a Sunday school teacher, and she served faithfully. May we choose to serve God faithfully as well in the opportunities that He gives us, choices to be made. I close with three things here I want to point out. Remind you of these three things. These are three that you should know. Number one, things of this world don't last. That's why Jesus said that we're to not lay up our treasures on earth, but we're to lay them up in heaven. Things of this world don't last. Number two, life on this earth is short. In the book of James there, chapter 4 and verse 14, he says that life is like a vapor. It's here for just a short little bit and it's gone. And it is, when you look at comparison with eternity, we are but a speck in the timetable. Our life is here and gone. Yet, within that speck of time, it determines the consequences of eternity for us. It's important to understand. What choices you make now in this short life echo in eternity. They are the consequences that we live with. And therefore, C.T. Studd wrote this, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Life is short. Eternity is long. May we invest our lives in the things that matter for eternity. For the choices you make now echo in eternity. Every head bowed, please. C.T. Studd wrote that line there, but that line that he wrote was inside of a poem. The poem is too long for me to read to you right now, but there was an extra stanza written, I'm not sure by him or by someone after the fact, but the statement reads like this of this extra stanza. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for Thee. What we would give as we stand in eternity for that to be a true statement of our life. But the point that I want you to get, if nothing else, this morning is that right now, this day, this week, you will make choices that will count for eternity. It will either count for good or it will count for no good. The choice is still yours. Oh, that we were wise and that we understood this, that we would consider the latter end. Father, I pray that You have, through Your Spirit, gotten through Your Word to us today, that we would realize the importance of the decisions that we make, because those decisions make us. Father, I pray that one day, as we stand before You, that we would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That we will have made choices. Lord, maybe have given up some things that are only temporary, so that we could have the better things of eternity. Help us to recognize the difference. And Lord, help us to make the choice that will please You. Father, in this we leave ourselves as we meditate maybe we'd be found of our own conscience to want to have a heart that pleases you, not ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.